really afford, right? So the question is, how can we use zoning to actually eliminate that stuff? Now, personally, if you look at the single family zones around the city, and that's all the yellow here, right? The vast majority of it is east of the river. There's some here, there's some in Ward 3 and Ward 4, but 5, 7, and 8 has a lot of it. Now, if you say, hey, no more single family zoning, that's got to go, and you can build duplexes and apartments there now because we have to build all this new housing for all these people that are might be coming in. Do you think Ward 3 is going to get blown up, or do you think Ward 8 is going to get blown up? The equity, that's the thing. So the equity issue, and it's playing out at the wharf, it's playing at Navy Yard, it's playing out at Union Market. These are brand new, gigantic box buildings. You know, where four-story buildings could be built, now they're building 12-story buildings. So 8 stories of land value given away to some mega real estate corporation. Who are they going to fill it with? Well, look at the boards of these corporations. And the size of the units. They're studios or one-bedrooms. With Union Market, I think total out of the 6,000 total units, it's about 200 that are 3 bedrooms. Okay, so it's not for families, and it's not for affordable. It's not affordable for anything, really, except for the 10. So they have used zoning to create a brand new segregated exclusive community. So that's what I'm saying. Zoning can be neutral. We have used zoning to fight back at Barry Farms. To say these people get to come back. You know, they shouldn't have been displaced in the first place. We use zoning at Brooklyn Manor to say you have failed the zoning code because you're displacing all these folks and you're not rebuilding 5 and 6 bedroom units. You're only building 2 and 3 bedroom units. So it's a neutral, that's what I'm saying, it's neutral. Say what?
A development like Berry Farms was still substandard housing, even though it's historically black, it still needs investment. And to some degree, even segregated black communities could benefit from some level of integration, maybe not upzoning from developers. But how do you, I just feel like there's sort of very conservative organizing principle that's like use the rules to stop the hurt right now, which is totally understandable, but how do you move past that? Like, how do you have a bigger conversation about, like,
yes,
the rules are set up to maintain certain status quos anyway?
I think that's what this document is kind of getting to. Because what I wanted to present was some more visionary stuff that hopefully from these more broader policies, we can get rules that are truly equitable, that it doesn't matter who's in power, that if applied, it is an equitable development. So, for example, income and family housing equity in all projects. So right now, 80 to 90% of all the new projects are luxury studios for single professionals. Why don't we have a policy and rules in place that say one-third, one-third, one-third? One-third of them are low-income, absolutely low-income units for families. One-third, 2 bedrooms, you know, middle-income. You know, one-third studios. Something that actually gets us to an equitable outcome. Well, they're claiming the demand is here for single professionals. I mean, the demand is always going to change, though, right? right? So if we don't have the structures in place, like if we don't actually have buildings for families to move into, no families can move into the Wharf. No families can move into Union Market ever. They'll never be able to move there because unless they bash down some walls and unite some of the studios. I don't see that happening. So if we don't get those families units built now while they're building all this stuff, we'll never have family units. This is the sort of thing what I wanted to go. How about prioritizing the people of DC? Instead of the city funding luxury apartments, condos, hotels, and stadiums, right? The $300 million that just went to the soccer stadium, or the $1 billion that went to the baseball stadium, or the $50 million that went to the Verizon Center. How about we just not do that, and we take that money, and we build family-sized units. We fix Barry Farms. You know what I'm saying? Like, no money should be going to wealthy playthings until everybody in this city who needs housing, including the chronically homeless, are housed. These are sort of the policies we got to get to set some real rules that prevent them from continuing the status quo. I was suggesting that all longtime small businesses, family, residents vulnerable to displacement and at risk of displacement because of rising housing costs are protected. We can have real purposeful mitigation programs with financing, public financing, to stop people from being displaced. And the last thing was, I wanted to, and Jillian's going to talk about public housing, but the equity in public institution and equal access to social services. This says that any group takes the position that no ward shall have significantly more institutional access to social services than any other. There shouldn't be the case that there's a food desert east of the river, or that they're lacking medical facilities east of the river. There is no excuse for that. How can we give $300 million to a soccer stadium and not have funded a medical facility east of the river, right? So there, yeah, the charter schools and all that. So these are the sort of things that you want, and again, I just put this out there as general, this is open source, but these are the sort of things that we want to raise up using our principles as a coalition. The coalition has those principles. I base these off of those principles. They're just ideas, but we have to get to broader policies, because when we get down into the weeds of 1,500 pages that most people won't read, we're not going to really win anything. But if we start setting broader vision and getting that to our ANCs and getting that to our council members, then hopefully other things will follow. These detailed rules that will keep things equitable or build things out equitably. So I want to pass it back to Jillian to close it out with the 2 points about public housing and the displacement stuff in the comp plan, and then we'll roll out.
Jillian, there's a round table on public housing for displacement.
Okay. Sorry, I'm going to sit down because my feet hurt. We did have, I put these sheets at the front of the table. I'm not sure if we had enough copies, so if you did not get a copy of it, please make sure that you sign in and I can send them out. So this particular document that says at-risk public housing in the comp plan, the properties listed are the 14 properties slated for removal from the public housing stock in DC. I included their area elements, the number of bedroom units, and which ANC and SMB they're in, because we didn't have these folks here today. So we definitely want to make sure that, one, we keep public housing around, because with these 14 properties, that's over 2,600 units that are going to be lost from the stock. Public housing is the last stop for folks before homelessness. So we absolutely need to make sure that we protect these things. So also within this document, I included every single policy and action around public housing between the area elements and also the housing element itself. If you look and see that there are two properties highlighted in yellow on the document, those are the only two properties that are actually mentioned by name in these area elements, and that's a problem. And they're only mentioned in names because they're a part of the New Communities Initiative. So not necessarily preserving the communities that are there, but creating something completely different that is no longer public housing, because it will be a mixed income development. And for those who are not aware of how mixed income developments work, they tend to not last very long, where folks are, they feel pressured and marginalized enough that they eventually move out, and they're also given different rules, and we want to make sure that that does not happen. Public housing communities are absolutely vital, and it's about time that we stop devaluing these communities. So I do have all of these priorities outlined, the policies, the actions. So if you feel so moved and you feel inclined, please make sure that your ANC commissioner actually puts their foot down to make sure that we maintain these properties. I think at some point, DC had over 10,000 public housing units. I think we're down to about 6,000 or 8,000? 8,000? Thank you. So we're down to 8,000. Oh, can somebody pass? Can you repeat what you said on the microphone? Because that's vital information.
So the total housing stock of the 2006 plan is 8,000. So you can take away the 26 we're talking about now and subtract. You can just go to, let's say, Prairie Farms and just subtract whatever 100 number that is out of that. And that's our total projected and actual loss. So I don't know how many it was before 2006, but I know 2006 we had only 8,000 units. That was including Prairie Farms and all the new community properties. So minus that stock and the 2600, we're actually down to about anywhere from 4,000 to 2,000 units left.
Thank you. Also keep in mind that this list does not include Prairie Farm, Park Morton, or Sursum Corda, or Temple Court. For those that have been around or have this knowledge or memory of it, Temple Court was demolished. It was actually about a block over from Sursum Corda, I think. And when it was removed from the public housing stock, it still has not been redeveloped. It's been over 10 years. And then there's also Brooklyn Manor. So there's so many reasons why we need to make sure that our ANCs are fully aware of what's happening and that they stand up for public housing. This other document I provided, I'm really sorry that the font is super small. My bad, y'all. But this is a copy of what OP wrote in the housing element on the displacement call-out box. The pink stuff on the side, those are my comments that I submitted to OP yesterday. So I wanted to make sure that y'all are fully aware of what I submitted. I also ran it by our public housing expert, so I don't know, it might be good. Also, within further into the document, these are also policies and actions around displacements. I made sure to note that certain area elements do not have policies, actions, or even any language in the narrative around displacement, such as Far Northeast Southeast, Lower Anacostia Waterfront, Rock Creek East, and Rock Creek West. That's a problem. We need to make sure that this narrative is in the comp plan. It's not supposed to be a rewrite, but they basically rewrote it. So with Far Northeast, Southeast in particular, and also Lower Anacostia, we definitely want to make sure that that language is absolutely included, because those are two areas where there is public housing that is slated for removal from the stock, whether it's RAD or Section 18. I did provide the definitions on the public housing page. Lincoln Heights, I believe, has a policy. Let me see. Sorry, I'm going to flip through this real quick. Yes. So Lincoln Heights has an action, action FNS-2.3B. It's also included in here, but yeah, so 14 properties, only two are mentioned with policies and actions. I think that's about all that I have right now. But if you have any questions about the comprehensive plan in particular, I am the point of contact from Empower DC. So my contact information is on both of these documents. I also officially have business cards now, so please feel free to take one. If you have comments or questions about how to get involved with public housing, that is our director of organizing, Daniel Del Pialago. So his contact information is also on here as well.
Yes. On December 31st, the Committee on Housing January 31st. I beg your pardon. I get mixed up in my months. But anyway, the Committee on Housing and Neighborhood Development is going to have a roundtable on the transformation plan for the 14 properties that Jillian was talking about. That is going to be how the public can weigh in on what's going to happen to our public housing. It's at 11 o'clock. It's Anita Bond's committee. I think it would be good if people would testify and say we really need to do what we need to do to keep our public housing. Pardon me? Oh, at the Wilson Building, room 412. No, there's a transformation. You know, there are 14 properties that are at risk. And the head of DCHA has developed this fancy transformation plan. And this hearing is going to be on the transformation plan.
Okay, so before they come downstairs to kick us out, if anyone else has any announcements? And Commissioner Doppel also has an announcement as well.
Is this working? Hello?
Yeah,
I'm the designated recorder of these meetings, and I always see people angry and they have stories and they're venting. And so I was thinking, you know what? Instead of, because I know people can't like look at these 2-hour meetings as well, you know, because it's long and instigated. So if you are comfortable to have a sit down with me, and let's talk about your heartbreak story or your vision or whatever it might be, or event even. I would love to sit down with you, so come, I'll bring a sheet and just write down your name and your number, and I will love to meet with you. And I want to do a campaign, a people's campaign, to tell real citizens their story and make sure that these council members know that they're not representing us. And these are our stories, and they need to start listening to us. So please come to me if you're willing and willing to talk with me about it. Yes, honestly. Oh, I think folks are asking. Okay, and does anyone else have an announcement to make? Okay, well, good meeting, everyone. I also want to make sure that everyone knows that February 8th, we will be talking about how to engage in the oversight hearings. My mind is blanking on when exactly the OP and Office of Zoning meeting oversight hearing will be, but I will send that out and we will have more than enough time to, you know, talk y'all through it. But yeah, I have business cards up here, so if you have any questions for me, I'll be here. Thanks, y'all.
I want to.